You know that feeling when a song comes on and it's so good that it feels like you're frozen in time? Well, that's what my podcast In My Tracks is all about. The songs that stopped me in my tracks. I'm your host, Jada Burt, and I have revealing conversations with musicians about their creative challenges, mental health struggles, and the economic realities they're facing as independent artists today. And you discover your new favorite songs. Tune into In My Tracks everywhere you listen to podcasts.
What is up, y'all? This is your girl, Scarlett, a.k.a. Scardi B, a.k.a. your resident emo historian. And join me as we unpack the history of Fall Out Boy and hip-hop. Look, y'all, we got a lot to cover in this podcast, so strap on in, because, sugar, we're going in. Sugar, we're going in season two, dos, do, y'all, what the fuck, because this show was not supposed to last more than a few months, let alone a year, let alone the 2 years that we're about to hit this summer. If this is your first episode, hello, how you doing? My name's Scarlett, aka Scardi B, your resident emo historian, as the intro foretold you. We have a whole other season that you can listen to where we covered everything from 2004 all the way to 2010, where we are right now as this season kicks off. And coming up on this season, we will be talking all things hiatus, reunion, and beyond. And without further ado, let's get this popping. Oh, wait. First of all, new intro, who dis? In defense of the Patrick Stomp Sugar We're Going Down remix, I've seen some slanderous takes online about what people think about this remix.
Slanderous and wrong and loud.
Okay, it's sexy, it's R&B, it's stripped back. Just say you've never enjoyed a D'Angelo song and keep it moving, in which... I'm so sorry. Like, we can never actually be true blue friends if you don't fuck with it the long way. Because that bass...
beefy.
Anyway, let's talk about 2010. 2010 was a time of transition. This was a time when Fall Out Boy went on hiatus and they were leaving fans like Shmi wondering if the band would ever return. I was in the deep recesses of depression. I will not lie to you, okay? But instead of going silent, Pete, Patrick, Joe, and Andy, they embarked on wildly different musical journeys, and each of it really, like, reflected their unique personalities and interests, which I really love to see. We have to remember that they were kids when this all started, and I give it up to them for, you know, having the courage to try something new. We all understand a quarter-life crisis, especially me now being, you know, past the age they were when this was all happening. This was a tough time for fans, though, and, like, for the band members, I'm sure, as well. But it was a chance to recharge creatively and dive into projects that they might have not been able to explore with the time and the responsibilities of being in Fall Out Boy. Our guys' subsequent projects from 2010 to the end of the hiatus in early 2013 would pave the way for, like, this new era in Fall Out Boy. There were new sounds, new experiences, and new ways of functioning as a team for the best, because I just like to imagine they were really scuffling during Folie à Deux. Like, you can't make, like, it's the way that Kendrick is like, yo, you know my album is coming out and that it's about to be amazing because I look crazy. Like, it looks like he is fighting with themselves, like he is fighting for his life. Like, I'd like to believe that Folie à Deux came from that. Like, the best shit that they've ever made, but they were going through the trenches. But, you know, you gotta give some to get some, and really that's what that was to me. In our Sugar We're Going In terms, like, this was Fall Out Boy's many men moment, okay? So many people praying on their downfall, but they had to retreat to come back stronger. Booyaka booyaka, splat splat. I want to start by showing love to our dudes, Joe Troman, the guitarist for Fall Out Boy, and Andy Hurley, our drummer for Fall Out Boy, in their side quest during this time. So they were in a band called The Damn Things, and The Damn Things was like this wild rock super group that was made up of members from obviously Fall Out Boy, but also Anthrax, Every Time I Die, and Alkaline Trio. You heard a little snippet of their music right before this segment, but even their name has roots in Black music, all right? So it comes from Black Betty, which Ram Jam made famous in like the 70s, but this song goes all the way back to like Black Americana folk music, and honestly, just another example of how rock, especially like punk and metal, you know, interblends and just has so much to do with, you know, the beginnings of Black musicians. And even though The Damn Things leaned more into like hard rock and metal, you can still definitely hear those bluesy influences. I hear you, Joe. I hear you in there, baby. You cannot tell me otherwise. And Andy's playing is just so, I can tell it from a mile away. And again, especially in the riffs and the rhythms that shaped their overall sound. Joe Troman and Scott Ian started the band in 2008 while they were on a break from their main projects. And they brought in Keith Buckley, Andy, and Rob Cattagio to round it all out. Their first album, Iconoclast, dropped in like 2010. And it was full of these big bluesy guitar riffs. And again, inspired by bands like Thin Lizzy and Led Zeppelin, who, let's be fucking real, got a lot of their sound from Black blues musicians in general. Even with their heavier edge from like Anthrax and Every Time I Die members, like you can still hear Fall Out Boy's melodic hooks in there every once in a while, which just goes to show you how much these musicians have shaped all the corners of rock and are coming together to make this new awesome sound. Now, the band, The Damn Things, didn't last super long, but they came back in 2019 with High Crimes before wrapping things up at the end of the year. Even though The Damn Things weren't around for long, their sound is just another reminder of how deep all of their roots run, and how this new sound and being able to experience that really paved the way for all of their music moving forward. Love you, Andy. Love you, Joe. I see y'all from your playing influences, like to your attention to detail. I love the artists that y'all are, and The Damn Things was super fucking sick. Next, we take a look at Pete Wentz's side project, Black Cards. Do y'all hear how it's kind of giving Mania, like before Mania? I mean, also, if it sounds like it was recorded on a potato and then downloaded through LimeWire, it's because it was, baby. Like, we never had nary a single final mix to have for our own. Like Black Hearts had us on the internet holding up our phones to get a copy on our phones. Like, this is all I got for you, Lucius. It's all for you, and that's all I got, okay? Let's hear from Pete for Alter the Press in 2011 in an article by John Abelson. He talks about The Damn Things as well as Black Hearts. So ATP asks, have you listened to The Damn Things? And Pete says, yeah, I think they're great. I think they're a really good band. I've also heard some of Patrick's stuff, and I'm a big fan of his voice in general. I think the cool thing is that the different things we are now doing are so different by nature, and it's easy to not feel competitive about it. I'm able to listen to them as my friend's band rather than like, that guy was in my band. And then ATP asks, how would you describe Black Cards in your own words? Pete said, someone recently told me that it reminded them of a combination of Lily Allen and UB40. I thought that was a pretty close example in my head, but I would throw ABBA in there as well because I grew up on them with my parents. I don't know. It's definitely interesting. It's pop music, but with the meshing of two worlds. There's a reggae tone and beats, but people haven't heard them yet because we haven't put any of the songs out. It kind of meets an electronica slide, and it's definitely rhythmically driven, but we'll see. This album is actually like a body of work. Specific songs definitely stand out, but there's a middle ground where they meet up. That's the way you go. All right, so let's talk about Pete Wentz's Black Cards era. Now, in order to do this, we got to zoom out a bit first. First of all, Pete's mom is Jamaican, and he's talked about how reggae and Caribbean music in general were part of his upbringing. It's not a stretch to think that growing up, Pete was also vibing to the likes of Bob Marley or Jimmy Cliff. Whether it was playing on purpose or just in the background at family gatherings, reggae is all about rhythm, storytelling, and breaking down barriers, which are also huge in hip-hop, so it's not hard to see how that music would absolutely sink into his DNA. In a 2010 article on The Guardian by Shawn Michaels, Pete says, "When Fall Out Boy went on hiatus, I wasn't really sure what to do with myself." He decided to visit Jamaica, and he says, "I spent a lot of time hanging around beaches, and I started to get inspired again by songs like The Cultures, 2-7's Clash, and The Gladiators Warriors. I'd never heard any of these songs before, but could imagine them having an everlasting imprint, like people would dance to this stuff forever." And now fast forward, or backwards through history with me, Scardy, back to 2010, and we get Black Cards, this reggae pop fusion project. And it's like Pete took all those childhood influences and ran them through this like emo punk hipster Tumblr filter and came out with something totally different. And while it wasn't strictly hip hop, the vibes are similar, right? So reggae and hip hop share roots in rebellion culture and pushing back against the norm. Pete's always been about connecting these worlds, and Black Cards is just another way of doing that. Pete swears up and down it's not reggae or dub, but you can infer that for yourself. Was Black Card's Summer Nights featuring Shaggy, yes, Mr. Bombastic himself. I mean, you probably also know him from hits like It Wasn't Me, In the Summertime, Oh Carolina, and Angel. Shaggy's been nominated for 7 Grammy Awards, winning twice, one for Best Reggae Album with Bombastic, and again in 2019 with Sting. He's won international awards, was awarded an honorary Doctor of Fine Arts from Brown University. It has been awarded the Jamaican Order of Distinction with the rank of commander, okay? Like, this dude has it all going on, and he's still going strong, but I just find it so amazing that Shaggy should have been, could have been on this Black Cards album. Wasn't me. Saw me kissing on the sofa. Wasn't me. I even had her in the shower. Wasn't me. She even got me. From this same Guardian article by Sean, he goes, "While some, the discovery of roots reggae would provoke years of musical exploration, self-discovery, and joint rolling, Wentz didn't waste time learning. Instead, he quickly recorded some songs with producer Sam Hollander and that mystery singer who may or may not be Wentz's wife, Ashley Simpson."
It was not.
Meet B. Bebe Rexha. Now, Bebe is one of these artists who started behind the scenes writing hits, okay, hits, before stepping into the spotlight herself. One of her biggest, earliest wins was co-writing The Monster for Eminem and Rihanna, which blew up and proved that she had a serious gift for crafting hooks that's dick, okay? So now, this is a crazy story. Apparently, P and the producer were literally just overhearing Bebe recording demos next door at the studio, and they were like, who the fuck is that? And next thing you know, she's the lead singer of this new project. Super unique voice, super talented voice, and the band, who also included guitarist Nate Patterson and drummer Spencer Peterson, they started dropping some tracks online, building the hype, and they even had an album planned, but you know how these things go. The delays. The label drama, okay? Pero we are talking about Bebe, okay? So she's worked with so many big names, especially your favorite artists who have shaped the music industry. People like Nicki Minaj teamed up with her on No Broken Hearts. She brought some sample hook energy into G-Eazy's Me, Myself, and I. And she even had a huge dance hit with Hey Mama alongside David, I call it Guetta. Afrojack, and of course Nicki Minaj again. She also put the cunt in country on Florida Line's Meant to Be. Like, if you didn't hear that song, I don't know where you were, under a rock. But basically, even in her solo music, like, you can hear her influences of like hip-hop and R&B, whether it's the way she delivers a hook, a melody, or even like the beats and producers that she chooses. She's always been open about how these genres shaped her sound, and you can hear it in everything she does, including Black Cards. Now, from writing for rap legends to blending different styles into her own music, like, Bebe is proof of how connected pop, hip-hop, and just popular music is today, which is just rooted in Black musicians, Black music, and just the amazing explosion of hip-hop in the 2000s through the aughts and today that we see. Ultimately, Black Cards were here for a good time, not a long time. We missed out on the wildness that could have been a full Black Cards album, which Pete teased would be full of collaborations. In an article for Spin back in May of 2011, Pico's Neon Trees singer Tyler Glenn and dancehall rapper Shaggy will be guest stars on this untitled album. He said he's still hoping to record contributions from Gym Class Heroes frontman Travis McCoy and Cobra Starship Gabe Saporta, the latter of whom once wants to sing in Spanish. He's Uruguayan. Mira, papi. Back in 2018, Bebe spoke with Billboard as she geared up for some solo releases, and of course, Pee-Weezy and Black Cards were brought up, and she told them a bit more about the end of how Black Cards came about, and it went a little something like this. The article is called Bebe Rexha, the Pop Queen Talks About New Album Expectations, Former Bandmate Pete Wentz, and Inviting Avril Lavigne to Dinner. And the quote under this title says, I have a love-hate relationship with Pete. It's bait, okay? Because it got me real quick, but listen up. This is by Larry Bartlett in June of 2018. Larry asks, while we're discussing collaborations, what was it like being in a band with Pete Wentz? Bebe goes, it was a really cool period. I learned a lot about music and the entertainment business and myself. I learned about how much I was able to push myself and what I was capable of. I definitely learned a lot from Pete. I remember when I first went on the road, I didn't even know how to talk on stage. I was freaked out. I would just watch Pete, and he was just so incredible at banter, so funny, and so personable. During interviews, the same way, he was just so good at what he did. You could really connect with him, and it was like a training period for me. I was glad in that situation. If I was in any other situation, like if it was just a girl group or something that was just too glossy, like I wouldn't have so much depth that I have now, because I feel I learned a lot of him from that during that time. Larry asks, are you still in touch? Like, would you collaborate with him again? And Bebe goes, yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with Pete because of Black Cards. Okay, see how they did her crazy with the title? I love you, Bebe. I wouldn't let them do you dirty, okay? But she continues, I was really sad. I didn't want it to end. It was really sad, but the managers told me and were like, this is not going to work out anymore. And I was mad at him. I was like, why can't he just tell me himself? But now we see each other all the time, and it's like, how can you hate Pete? I love him so much, and I see him everywhere. I saw Fall Out Boy at this charity event for all the survivors of the school shootings. We did a charity event for them, and I watched them perform, and it was such a cool moment because they're epic. It made sense that he was just trying to do something different with me, and I was so young and dumb. So when I saw Fall Out Boy, I was like, this is truly who he is, and this is his element. Larry asked, did you think that Black Hearts was going to last forever? BB, yeah, I felt like I was going to break out on the scene and it was going to be a one-take thing, like, oh, this is so easy, but no, it's not. It requires a lot of work. Larry goes, but it's helped you to get where you are now? And BB goes, yeah, I respect him. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. And Pete, and this is the end of the article. This is now me, Scardy, talking. Like, Pete was going through it. Like, I understand that Black Hearts ending might have not been as, you know, spectacular or big as, you know, the project wanted it to be. But, like, Pete was really going through it. He's a businessman. He's a man of priorities. And, like, this priority triangle went kind of, like, mental health, friends, family, and Fall Out Boy, you know, being like at the tip of it. But here's the fun part. Okay, fast forward to like 2019, like BB teases a solo track called Heaven Sent. Apparently he was on the bass and fans lost it. It was like a little reunion of a project that never really got to take off. And it just goes to show that even short-lived bands and projects can leave an impact, especially when the people involved go on to do huge things. Finally, in 2023, BB introduced Pete and Fall Out Boy at their performance at the MTV VMAs. This article ends with, and I promise there's a reason I'm bringing this up, the band will play Central Park's Summer Stage show September 1st, supporting Panic at the Disco and Neon Trees, but no other major live performance plans at the moment. If anyone's reading this and wants to pick us up on tour, we'd like to go out, Pete quipped, and the writer says, back to square one, indeed. But this is for a lore drop, okay? Bow, 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 lore drop, okay? I was on stage with Black Hearts when they opened up for Panic at the Disco in Central Park at that show, all right? So I needed that Pete Wentz fix, and thank you, God, for Marcus. He was Fall Out Boy's old bodyguard. He held it down the long way, okay? So being there, and he helped me on stage. I'm sure there's a video on YouTube somewhere of me being scooped out of the pit and thrown on stage gently, and I will post any videos or photos I have on my Instagram and on Twitter because it's just so funny. You can follow me at Sugarbird Going In for all that good stuff. Also, for a long time, BB followed me back on Instagram, and I remember her commenting on a dress I had bought and posted, and I felt like I had made it. Like, if BB likes my shit, like, I'm on some shit. Like, I'm on some fly shit for real. Whoo, Shugs, how we feeling? Okay, so coming up on the next few episodes, I'm thinking like 5 or 7, no lie. Like, it will be about Patrick's solo career and collaborators. We will be talking Truant Wave, touring, soul punk, and you will hear my interview with Patrick from back in 2011. Yes, I'm prolific like that. Here's a quick clip just to tease you.
Hey, what's up? This is Scarlett, and you're listening to 90.3 The Pulse, and I'm joined today by Patrick Stump, an incredible multi-talented musician. Why are you laughing?
That's a great introduction. It's a heck of a
All right. Introduction. You're welcome. So tell me what's up. We're in New York, so yeah. What's going on?
Everything. We're doing a show today, Webster Hall, but Palace, I guess, is the particular room that we're in. We did... Mark Hoppus's show for Fuse today, and then I have all manner of press and stuff to do tomorrow. So
like this.
Yeah, New York is like the least relaxed of any of the days, of any of the shows. Always, it's like almost as bad as a home show.
And now, while all this is happening in 2010 with Black Hearts and the Damn Things, our guy Patrice was loading, okay? Patrick rejoins the Roots for If You Think You're Lonely Now, live in Washington, D.C., and he's debuting a new look and a new take on his signature sound. So I'm going to play so that way you can enjoy him singing If You Think You're Lonely Now with the Roots back in 2010. And if you'd like to learn more about Patrick and his history with Philly's very own, the Roots, there's an episode for that. Anyway, talk to you soon. For Sugar, we're going in. It be me, Scardi B, signing off and leaving you with some sweet, sweet sounds. Bye.
I want to dedicate this song to all the lovers tonight. And I expect that might be the whole world, because everybody needs something or someone to love. When it's cold outside, who are you holding? Always complaining about it, never being at home. Complaining about the things that I don't think I. Too far gone.